If you're perfectionistic in one area, you're perfectionistic in all areas of life, even though you may not see that. Because the way that your brain does one thing is the way that your brain does everything. Welcome to Is This All There Is? The podcast for high-achieving women who have checked all the boxes and are left feeling overwhelmed, unfulfilled, and stuck. I'm your host, Dr. Amanda Ryan Fear, and in each episode, we'll use principles of cognitive psychology, feminist theory, and expert mindset coaching to help you build the confidence and clarity you need to accomplish whatever it is you want, even if you don't yet know what that is. Hey, everybody. How is it going? Welcome to Is This All There Is? Episode 18. Well, my friends, it has been a wild ride, and I am definitely getting the chance to practice all of the tools that I teach on thought management, emotional management, and just generally living your best life. So I'll spare you the details, but as you all know, or some of you know, I had emergency open heart surgery back before Thanksgiving. And I've been doing really well with my recovery. I've been back to riding my horse. I've been walking at least a mile a day. And then 2 weeks ago, I came down with some sort of stomach bug or food poisoning or something. And I ended up with an incarcerated hernia that required emergency surgery to repair. So found myself back in the hospital. So I'm doing fine. I'm recovering just fine. I'm back at work. All is good. But man, I am tired of hospitals and I am ready to be super healthy. So yeah, here I am. But I wanted to get back to our series on having it all on your own terms. And specifically the three things that are basically just energy drains and their habits that particularly women are prone to because of the way that we're socialized. So we're taught to put everybody else first. We're taught to put our own needs last. We're taught that we're responsible for how everybody else feels. And we're also taught that we need to be good and pleasing and all of the things. And so there are three essential habits that I work with clients on overcoming, because all these habits do is really cause you to lose energy. They're energy drains, and you can't have it all. You can't go after the life that you want when you don't have energy. So those three habits are people-pleasing, procrastination, and perfectionism. So in weeks past, we've talked about people-pleasing and what it is and how to overcome it. We've talked about procrastination, again, what it is and how to overcome it. And I'm dedicating two episodes to perfectionism. So today we're going to talk all about what it is, how it holds you back, and how to overcome it. You're seeing a theme here, I know. And then next week we have a special guest, Elizabeth Sherman, who is also a coach and frequently sees perfectionism in her clients. She's the host of the Done With Dieting podcast. And we're going to have a conversation about perfectionism and how it shows up and some tools that we use with clients to move past it. Because really, again, all perfectionism is a habit that's ingrained in us that is costing us time and energy. So this week, we're going to look into the intricacies of perfectionism and examine the reasons why it's so common, especially among high-achieving women, especially if you're already self-critical. So I'll explain where it comes from, how it impacts all areas of your life, and why it never works. I'll also share my coaching strategies for overcoming it and starting to be able to accept yourself where you are. So when you think about being perfect, we don't really know what that means, right? We think of someone who does their work well ahead of time, someone who creates multiple drafts, produces perfect work. And when we think about that, there are lots of areas in our lives where we think we just don't measure up. So perfectionism, the hallmark of perfectionism is being conscious of what's wrong with you what's wrong with your work, and what's wrong with your life. Perfectionism is seeing the perfect ideal of what you would like your life to be like in all areas of your life, measured up against the reality of your life. And if you're a perfectionist, the reality of your life always comes up lacking. So how do you know you're a perfectionist? Most of you probably wouldn't even identify as being perfectionists. And I was really similar, where even though I spent tons of hours, tons of energy, especially at work, trying to make sure that my emails had exactly the right tone, and I would go over presentations multiple times in case somebody had a question that I didn't anticipate because I wanted to make sure to answer all the questions, I would be really aware of what I was saying in interactions with other people. And so I had all of those habits, but if you'd asked me if I thought I was a perfectionist, I would have said no. I mean, I'm a total mess in my work and my home life and my relationships. Of course I'm not a perfectionist. Because we tend to think of perfectionism as being perfect, like putting in the work and being perfect. But as you know, there's no such thing as perfect. It's a false ideal. It's a false goal. So you know you're a perfectionist if you look around and notice what's wrong with your life. That's a sign of being a perfectionist, if you're able to see those gaps of your reality versus the perfect ideal. So perfectionism is the belief that you could always do better or be better. Generally, if you're perfectionistic in one area, you're perfectionistic in all areas of life, even though you may not see that. Because the way that your brain does one thing is the way that your brain does everything. So the belief that whatever you're thinking about in any area of your life, that it could be better, then your life would be better, would be perfectionism. So if I had a cleaner house, my life would be better. If I had more time management skills, my life would be better. If I were a better supervisor, my life would be better. It's the idea that if we could reach this perfectionistic ideal, like if I could just lose 10 pounds, my life would be better. If we could just reach this perfectionistic ideal, then our lives would be better. The perfectionistic mindset is, I'm not okay how I am. I need to be better. Versus wanting to improve your life, because why not have an amazing life, right? So I'm a life coach. I 100% believe in personal development. I believe in working on yourself and on your life to live a life that feels amazing. But that comes from the drive of, I want to improve my life because I want my life to be really flipping amazing. I want it to be the best it can be. Versus there's something lacking in me. And so therefore, I need to do everything perfect so that I can feel better about myself. Do you see the difference between those two? So perfectionism can show up in all areas of our lives. It can show up at work. It can show up in relationships. And especially in our relationships with other people, if you're a perfectionist, you also can be highly critical of other people. Like, my partner isn't meeting my standards. So if you notice yourself being really judgy of others and that they aren't quite meeting your standards, it's really likely you're a perfectionist. We can be perfectionistic in our bodies or about our bodies. Women are socialized that we're supposed to be able to control our bodies. We're supposed to be able to keep them thin and toned and pleasing to the eye. And that can cause perfectionism related to your body. Your home, wanting to have a clean and tidy and pleasing, well-decorated home. So perfectionism does nothing but cause stress and anxiety because you're looking around thinking about how things in your life could be better. You're always measuring against this fake ideal of what perfect would be. And that's exhausting. The root of perfectionism is that believing that you could be better and that you should be better. So perfectionism creates all sorts of negative consequences. We talked about one of them last week, and that's procrastination. It comes from the idea of, I don't know how to do it, or I'm going to screw it up. So basically, if I can't do it perfectly right off the bat, I'm going to put off doing it until I get so stressed out about the deadline coming up that I do it. Perfectionism creates mistakes for that very reason. So if you're trying to be perfect, you put off doing a task and put it off and put it off because you know you're not going to be able to do it perfectly. And then you don't even have the time to do it well. Perfectionism creates inertia. When you're constantly thinking about all the ways you should be better, you get overwhelmed and you get stuck. It creates anxiety. It creates shame. When you believe who you are is inherently unworthy, you can't show your imperfections to other people. So it's like you're putting on this facade. There's jealousy, the belief that someone else's life is better. Especially in the age of social media, we only see certain curated pieces of other people's lives. I'm very conscious of this. I try not to show the messy parts of my house in social media, right? Because I don't want people to know that I have a messy house. But we only see these really carefully curated aspects of other people's lives. And then we think less about ourselves because our lives don't quite measure up. Perfectionism also creates paralysis, right? Because if you're not able to do it perfectly, then why even try? And then you get stuck. So here's what I want you to know about perfectionism. It's the lie that if you just improve enough, you'll get to feel good about yourself. The truth is, if you think about yourself in a way that feels neutral or positive, you're more likely to be able to change. That's because you think that if you're perfect, you won't be rejected. But really, when you believe this, you're constantly creating the feeling of rejection for yourself by rejecting yourself. So it's this trick that our brains play on us where we think, if only I could do this thing perfectly. Really, it's if only I could have all areas of my life be perfect, then I wouldn't ever feel rejected. So you're rejecting yourself ahead of time because you know that you're not perfect. So you're actually creating this feeling that you're working so hard to avoid. You're just rejecting yourself. What I want you to keep in mind is, I know you've heard this before, this might be shocking, it might not, is there's no such thing as perfect. Perfect is subjective. And that's why it's tricky because your brain is going to keep moving the bar. You never get to this place of being perfect. You might think perfect is nobody asks any questions in a meeting because you've answered all of them ahead of time. But then your brain will probably come up with something like, they must not have understood anything because nobody asked any questions, right? You could run a marathon and you could think, okay, I ran a marathon. I should feel good about myself. And then you do it. And then your brain's like, yeah, but it wasn't a 50K, right? Your brain is always moving the bar. You will never get to a point in your life, no matter how clean your house is, how well-fed and well-mannered your kids are, no matter how amazing you are at your job, your brain is never going to be like, okay, you reached the bar, good job, you get to feel good about yourself now. The good news is that you get to feel good about yourself right now. So you tend to think right now, if you just are good enough, your brain will leave you alone and you'll be allowed to believe that you're acceptable. This day never comes. Your brain will never tell you that you've done enough or that you're good enough. You need to realize that your brain is not a reliable narrator on this. Our brains, even though we tend to think our thoughts are the truth, our brains are not a reliable narrator. You can change your belief that you can only feel good about yourself if you're perfect. You can always change your thoughts. Even if you have a brain right now that's telling you, you're not good enough, you're not smart enough, your house isn't clean enough, you can change those beliefs. That's 100% possible. Something that helps is I want you to think about all the other people you love that aren't perfect. Or sometimes it helps clients to think about pets because our pets just exist. We love them because they exist, right? My dog, she sleeps on the bed all day long and all night long. Sometimes she poops and pees outside. Sometimes she poops and pees inside. I still love her 100%. I don't expect her to be out there having an amazing job, cleaning the house, doing all the things. I get to love her just because she exists. The goal is to love yourself just because you exist. The journey of trying to accept your imperfection takes less energy than trying to be perfect. I'm going to say that again. The journey of letting it be messy, of letting yourself be messy, letting your life be messy, letting it all be imperfect, takes a lot less energy than it does trying to be perfect, because perfection is a bar that you'll never reach. I want you to practice thinking that you can be flawed and be lovable. You've made mistakes and you haven't gotten fired, you haven't gotten dumped, you haven't gotten defriended. I mean, maybe that's happened, but for the most part, that doesn't happen. Same thing for other people. They have flaws. You don't love them because they're perfect. There's just something essentially them that you like and love. This is also possible for you. You get to be a fully messy human and still be loved. Your brain is always going to tell you that you need to be perfect, but you can be okay just as you are. I tell my clients that there's a difference between being a robot and being a human. We tend to want to be robots, right? Robots are good at their jobs, or if they're not, they get reprogrammed. There's not a lot expected from robots. Robots don't feel emotions. Robots never say the wrong thing, right? Robots are never disappointed. And then there's the whole human experience, which is messy. I mean, being a human is messy. We say the wrong thing. We forget deadlines. We screw things up. That's all part of the human experience. And as far as I know, you signed up to be a human and not a robot. If you signed up to be a robot, I'm sorry, you're in the wrong place. Maybe you'll get it right next time. But what I want you to do is start opening up to letting it be messy. Think about the people that you love who make mistakes. Think about your pets who really just are lovable because they exist. And extend yourself just a tiny, tiny, tiny bit of that grace. So I'll leave you with some amazing advice that I got when I first became an assistant principal. And I was talking to a friend of mine who was a principal. And I said, how did you manage it all? Because she also had a young child at home when she started her administrative career. And she said, you know, a lot of the time you'll feel like you're failing at home and you'll feel like you're failing at work, but you just have to be okay with getting a C+. And I thought about that and I thought, you know, C+ is average. That's not bad. For those of us who've been accustomed to wanting and desiring and working hard for the A+, having a C+, shooting for a C+ can be challenging for sure. But we only have so much time and we only have so much energy. And so you need to work on prioritizing your energy for what matters most to you. If it matters most to you to put out a perfectly grammatically excellent email, then that's where you'll spend your time and energy. For me, I would rather spend my time and energy working with clients than spending it with my family and doing the things that I love. So think about that. Let yourself be a messy human, work for a C+, let me know how it goes. And we'll continue this conversation next week. All right, take care.
If you found this podcast helpful, head on over to iTunes to subscribe, rate, and leave a review. Go ahead and send it to a friend while you're at it. Thank you. My mission in life is to liberate women from the limiting beliefs that are holding them back from living their fullest, most joyful lives. If you'd like to learn more about my work, check out my website at www.amandaryanfear.com, where you can find links to join my free private Facebook group and to learn more about working with me.